title of this morning's message is One at a Time. One at a Time. Well, it's a simple prayer, three words: increase our faith. It's so basic that it need not be said at all. If you had to capture all that we do and say this morning in church, all the prayers, all the talking, the singing, the setting up, the packing up, getting the kids checked in, putting some money in an offering bowl if a child or a stranger or an alien were to ask you, why bother with all this? To increase our faith might be the most plausible response you could offer. And yet, as we turn our attention to this conversation between Jesus and his disciples in the 17th chapter of Luke's gospel, you wouldn't be crazy to ask if all the preparation and presentation that went into this worship experience was necessary. If all it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed to make a mulberry tree magically move into the sea, then what are we doing here? Everybody has got at least a mustard seed sized measure of faith, or else you'd be somewhere else right now. You got enough faith to get here. You aren't perfect, but if you go fishing around in your pocket or in the pockets of your soul, somewhere in there is at least a mustard seed sized measure of faith. And now you're here, like the disciples, turning your eyes towards Jesus and asking for a little more faith, you know, to make it through a season of suffering, a little more faith to forgive a friend or a spouse or a sibling that's messed you over, a little more faith to ease your constant worry, a little more faith so you won't keep making the same mistake over and over. Or maybe your simple prayer for an increase of faith is compelled by your concern for a world that could use, say, more peacemakers instead of soldiers. More random acts of kindness to counter senseless acts of violence. More tolerance instead of judgment. No matter what it is that brought you here before Jesus to ask for a little more, I wasn't expecting Jesus to respond to our prayer by effectively saying, why are you asking for more when you've already got enough? But surprise, that's the answer we get today. It's the answer we receive today to our simple three-word prayer. That mustard seed-sized measure of faith that brought you begging for more is enough. But if that's the case, if it's that easy, if all it takes is faith equivalent in size to a mustard seed, why aren't the mulberry trees of intolerance, violence, hate, arrogance, hunger, selfishness, suffering? Why aren't all these mulberry trees drowning in the sea right now? And that would be magical, wouldn't it? To wake up one morning and see that breaking news banner at the bottom of the TV screen, alerting the world that last night, the kingdom of God came. While we were sleeping, a massive measure of spiritual aid was delivered right there to the doorstep of all God's children in neat little boxes with return addresses that said heaven. Everybody got one, all at the same time. And inside was enough faith to wear down, say, the rough edges of resentment and to square the crooked corners of our broken relationships and to transform our fear into courage and to redistribute enough of the world's resources so everybody had access to food and safety and work, clean water. And as we opened the answer to our collective prayer, increase our faith, a collective amen could be heard from sea to shining sea in every corner of the world, and we'd all be relieved, relieved of our responsibility to make some magic out of those measly mustard seeds. Wouldn't that be nice? I know this scenario sounds ridiculous to reasonable people like us, and that's unfortunate because I'm afraid it's the reasonable people that already possess enough faith to move mulberry trees into the sea. And it's the reasonable people that keep asking for God to be a magician instead of asking for more mustard seeds. For all the mundane, seemingly meager moments that define life as it's lived following the way of Jesus. We don't need a bigger mustard seed. The one you've got is big enough. We need more mustard seeds because that's how durable change happens. One moment at a time, slowly, locally, usually out of sight, by quiet people showing up one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. Showing up with a mustard seed of forgiveness when nobody's watching. Showing up with a mustard seed of hospitality for a stranger, and then a mustard seed of charity for someone that can't pay you back. And then a mustard seed of temperance when you are encouraged to take more than you need. And then a mustard seed of grace for yourself when it's hard to see why God would love you. And then a mustard seed of silence when you feel the need to be noticed. And then a mustard seed of courage when creation asks you to speak up. It's here in these teeny little encounters with the life that you're living, not the life that you think you should be living, but the life that you're living, that mustard seed-sized measures of faith, not magic, will make the kingdom come. Over and over, dozens of times each day, life is going to present you with opportunities to reach in the pockets of your soul and find another mustard seed for that moment. But too often we miss these mustard seed moments. They slip away. And we're left to wonder, God, where is the magic? The increase of faith that's going to suddenly solve all of our problems and make us more faithful and settle our restless souls. And Jesus says, one at a time, one at a time. Adolfo Kaminsky, he had a pocket full of mustard seeds. Today he's 91, he lives in Paris. He's got this long flowing white beard and he talks slowly and he walks softly as if he's not even there. He's got a home, it's a simple, small apartment that's provided by the government to people with low incomes. Now, before he became a hero of World War II, he was a hunted teenager. He was born in Argentina to Russian Jews that had fled Europe after being kicked out of France. Eventually, though, his family was allowed to return from Argentina to France to join their relatives. But when he was 13, he quit school to support his family by working in a laundromat. And it was there that he became really skilled at taking ink stains out of clothes. On weekends, he worked for a chemist in exchange for butter. But in 1943, all that stability ended. His family was arrested, and they were sent to an internment camp for Jews. Now, this camp was the last stop before you were sent to a death camp, where there would be gas chambers. Miraculously, his family avoided certain death when the Argentinian government protested their detention and they were released. But the story doesn't end there. They were still under threat of arrest, and so his family, they had to go into hiding. And so his father sent Adolfo to go pick up some documents from a Jewish resistance group that would help them to escape. They were fake passports. When he got there, they asked him for help, and so Adolfo showed them how to remove an ink stain from a document that they were attempting to forge for someone else. Immediately, right there, in that moment, he was invited to join this resistance group. He said yes. His group, they focused their attention on the most critical cases, especially those that involved children. With their forged documents, the resistance group placed these children in rural homes and convents, or they snuck them into Spain or Switzerland. As Mr. Kaminsky tells it, there was this one time in his story when he had to meet this massive request for new documents in 3 days. And so for two straight nights, he stayed awake making travel documents. This is what he said about that time. He says, it really was a simple calculation. In 1 hour, I can make 30 blank documents. If I sleep for an hour, 30 people will die. He couldn't magically end the war, but he could save a child. One at a time. One at a time. One at a time. But the story doesn't end there. After the war ended, he didn't plan on continuing to forge documents, but other resistance movements from all over the world kept asking him for help, and so he continued his work, helping people all over the world. He never once accepted payment. He never told anyone what he was doing. His girlfriends, they thought he was cheating because he was frequently absent with no excuse for long stretches of time. The anonymous forger couldn't be thanked by the beneficiaries of his work. After he quit in 1971, because he was afraid too many people were aware of his identity, he made a meager living as a photographer for the rest of his life. So you've got to ask, why'd he do it? Why bother? Why'd he give up his life so others could live? Well, he answered that question. He said, I saved lives because I can't deal with unnecessary deaths. All humans are equal. Whatever their origins, their beliefs, their skin color, there are no superiors, no inferiors. That is not acceptable for me. It's a simple way to look at life if you think about it. You could say this really simple perspective was Mr. Kaminsky's mustard seed, a really small, unsophisticated consideration that all of us would commend. We might even say the same thing out loud every once in a while. But it's not magic. Simply believing that all life is sacred is not going to save a single life. Every day, he had to sit down and one at a time, do this anonymous work that wasn't glamorous or magical, for his mustard-sized seed of faith in the dignity of human life to become a reality. And Jesus, he concludes his response to the disciples with a simple parable about a slave and a master. When the master comes home, he doesn't invite the slave to sit down and eat dinner with him. That'd be magical. But that's not what happens. The master asks the slave to do his job, prepare a meal, and serve it. Now, don't let our own shame about the legacy of slavery get in the way. If it's more comfortable for you to switch out employee for slave and manager for master, then do so. And after you do that, notice that the parable is actually intended to state the obvious. At the end of the day, we're to be satisfied that we have done only what we ought to have done. Nothing else. Nothing more. Nothing magical. Another day's passed. It wasn't memorable. No medals were distributed for magical feats of faithful living. In the meager, mustard-sized moment, a servant did what he ought to have done. In the grand narrative of human history, moments like this will be left out of the story. But imagine if we all did what we ought to have done. Not what was convenient or what would be noticed. Imagine if we stopped waiting for God to increase our faith later instead of living right now like our pockets are just bulging with enough mustard seeds to make the kingdom come, say, one forged passport at a time, one conversation at a time, one word of forgiveness at a time, one little mustard seed-sized piece of faith won't make magic. But you put them all together, one at a time. And eventually you'll see that your faith, it did move that stubborn old mulberry tree that's been blocking your view of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.